Retired detective Sergeant Darren Birch, author of Twisted But True, escorts you through a zone, the badge zone, where stories from those behind the badge range from the bizarre to the supernatural. Welcome to a place of strange happenings as you're about to enter the badge zone.
Yes. What is your name? Are you the child Cora? Are you the child killed by the cold heart?
No.
What is your name?
Joseph.
Did you die in this house, Joseph? How did you die? Is there someone here you wish to communicate with?
John. Help. Help.
That was The Changeling, 1980. George C. Scott, his wife at the time, Trish Vandeveer, and a Melvin Douglas. And one of his last performances, and that's one of my favorite films. It's a great movie that is also a horror film, but it's just a really good movie. And that particular scene was, if you will, a seance. I know a lot of people don't even like that word.
Right.
And I prefer a reading. And that's kind of like the movie version, I believe. I could be wrong. Maybe that's a complete real thing. But we have an expert today that's going to talk about readings. Medium Adelita. She was the very first guest we ever had on the Badge Zone. And I met her through, my daughter took me to a psychic fair. And I'm not saying I'm a doubter, but I'm a
healthy skeptic.
Healthy skeptic,
yeah,
is what I refer to myself.
Yeah.
And only because as a cop, we look at the facts. I'm not trying to go Joe Friday on anyone, but, you know, the facts, ma'am, just the facts. But I see too many real things. In fact, it happened today as I greeted Adelita into the studio, and she said, your father. What she doesn't know is that my father just died.
What?
Yes, this is very recent, and I don't do anything on social media about it.
Wow.
I don't do anything about it. I'm not a social media kind of guy, as you know, Robin. You know me for how many years now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's almost 7 years.
Have I ever posted something personal other than the show, the movie's coming out?
No.
That stuff. I don't. So there's no way in the world she should have known that. And she did, and just blew me away.
Well, so, it's fascinating to me because that's how quick the spirits can come through.
Apparently. And so we're going to take a commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk with Adelita. We're going to talk about where her journey has taken her. But at the same time, she's going to give a reading, a real live reading, that it's just, and she's going to explain her world after this commercial.
You're listening to The Badge Zone. We'll be back right after this. If you like The Badge Zone, you'll love their books, starting with Darren's award-winning Twisted But True book trilogy with close to 100 compelling and funny true crime stories that American detectives with Lieutenant Joe Kenda producer called The Perfect Blend of Humor, Heroism, and Honor. And retired Colonel Dave Grossman declared, Darren's Twisted But True books are hilarious, deep, and powerful. Each book in the series received the Pinnacle Award for the Best True Crime Book, and a story from Book 2 was featured on an ID Channel television show. And Robin's most recent book, Soul Stirrings, reviewed as an often humorous and spiritually uplifting story of a widow's soul-searching pilgrimage to the afterlife. Darren called it a love story, a ghost story, an investigative story. It's a story like no other. And Robin's first book, Victim No More, where she shares her harrowing experiences with rape and domestic violence as Robin takes the reader on a very personal journey through the morass of abuse and loss, and ultimately, survival. These Badge Zone books should be on everybody's top 10 reading lists. And now, back to the Badge Zone.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm still kind of blown away. I'll be really honest with you, very candid. This is going to be a very unusual show because I kind of gave you three topics to talk about. I said, hey, let's talk about a new book you have, a new program called The Butterfly Effect. I want to talk about where you're at now since we last spoke. Were there any kind of interesting stories, which I know there is. And then I kind of said, and if during the course of the show, if you get any kind of, you know, signals. I never said a person or a name or even a gender. I just said if anything ever pops up. And then you said,
your father.
And it was like, whoa, because as I just announced before the commercial break, my father recently passed away. And when I say recently, I mean, you know, a few months. And there's a lot to unpack there. So I'm really curious about that. And I want to go there. And if you have to stop, you know, stop me in midstream because you're getting messages and signals and words and emotions, please do so. But I kind of want to talk a little bit about where you at today from almost a year ago when we had you on the show. And in fact, if you don't know who I'm talking about, Adelita Smith, which is Medium Adelita. And she's amazing. The very first show we did was a video to a network that unfortunately they went under. They were very excited about it, and unfortunately the network went under. And so our very first video podcast, it's almost, you know, you're on the couch. We were on the couch together. You know?
Yeah, we were, and that's kind of what kind of opened a lot of doors, I believe, in my world, because a lot has happened within that year. I actually do, and I have been getting out to like psychic shows, and that's kind of where I met you at a psychic fair, and you came and watched me talk. I talked about Polished by Grief, and that's exactly, you know, how we met and how you introduced me and said you'd like to have me on the show. But since then, I have gone on. I have done Stairway to the Stars in Las Vegas.
Wow.
I have done the Conscious Life Expo, which is like the big show that they have every year for the, you know, psychics and mediums. Thank you so much. And I have touched a lot of people. I have given a lot of readings. And at places like that, I didn't realize I was reading for people that were like at my level or above. And so they were all like, oh my gosh, who are you? Where did you come from? And kind of like I've shared my story along the way, and I've met some really beautiful people and some wonderful souls that, you know, say, hey, if you need anything, let me know. I can, you know, have connections. And I'm like, you know, I'll just let it happen organically. Whatever happens, happens. But I am grateful for this show and everything that you have done. And it's been exciting to see, you know, your growth and learn that, you know, you guys are going on to other things. So I'm excited for you.
You know, the talk about validation. And because our first show was all about, God, is this real? Yes, it's real. It's hitting me over the head like a frying pan. This is so real. This is happening. And now the validation of your peers. That's got to mean a lot.
Yeah, it does, because it's the truth. It's like, I've got to tell you, I'd never come to a reading with 100% assurity that, hey, I got this. I don't do that. I am skeptical as well. So I sit there and I tell people it is not from me and it's not for me. So I am not attached to the message. So that is what makes me such a clear channel and able to give exactly that. And your dad is not messing around. He has been standing by you the whole time, and he keeps telling me, blah, 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 talk about me. So the first thing that he does is he points at his throat.
Uh-huh.
And when he does that, he makes me feel, he's making me feel like he cannot communicate. There are words he wants to say, but he says, you look into my eyes and you know, and he's like fighting himself because he wants to go because he's tired. He is exhausted, and he's like, I am so tired. He goes, but I'm not tired now. And for some reason, he is dancing, and he's kind of funny because I don't know. It looks like he's trying to tap dance, but he kind of likes does the cowboy dip like this. So it's funny, and he tells me, you tell him I have DJ. Oh. I have DJ.
Oh.
And he's making me feel like all this love for you, and I don't mean to get emotional, but there's so much love, and he's thanking you for helping him. And he's telling me that you helped walk him to the other side. like you would not leave him, so he doesn't want to leave you, and he knows you're okay, but he says he wants to take the cop in you and show you how real it is when you leave. Oh. And he's showing me all these beautiful things, and he's talking about an arrangement of flowers. Like there was a discussion about flowers or not flowers, and he's telling me something about white flowers. He's showing me white flowers, and then he's also like he's saluting. So either there was a military tie with him, or there's something where he's giving you respect as an officer. And then he wants to talk about what changed your trajectory in life. And I asked him, what does that mean? And he's showing me, the moment you wanted to be a cop, the moment you knew for sure. And he's telling me, you don't know this, but there was when you were a young man, he said he's not a boy, he was a young man, he's showing me a party, and he's talking about you seeing an accident and not being able to help anybody, and people passed away. And that is where you knew, how can I help? What can I do? So Dad is telling me that's when you decided in your heart that you wanted to help people and you wanted to rescue and save people because you couldn't save someone. And he's showing me the number 3 or 4. He's got his fingers up and he did it really fast. So there were other people. You weren't in the vehicle. I don't understand that, but hold on. There's something about a party, the desert, and drinking and driving. And he showed me my son's face, so I know that there was drinking and driving. And somebody, I don't know if it was a ditch or a pole, but they hit something. Do you understand that?
Everything you said, I not only understand, but I can validate everything you just said. That is absolutely bizarre. You start with the throat. From this point, I'm going to go back, and okay. I've been writing down things that you said that absolutely 100% connection. He had a stroke, so he lost his ability to speak. And during our process, he's lived in California. I live in Phoenix. I would visit him like 4 times a year, help him with the house and do things around the house. And just for complete candid transparency, I guess, I didn't grow up with him. He left me when I was like 2 and then came back in my life when I was 30. But I was very close to him. I absolutely love him. I loved helping him. So when they called and said he had a stroke, I drove down that very same night, stood by his side and worked with him to get him on the mend. And he was able to now move his arms a little bit. And I'll talk about the dance in a second, which is really funny. And so his voice was coming back. Sadly, the night I left, and I don't know how long it was there, 3 weeks, I guess. And when I got home, he was out of the ICU, out of the hospital, in a rehab center on the mend when he vomited on his food, aspirated, and died. And so it was all about the throat because they had to, try to intubate him, and it didn't work. And he had a do not revive, clause. So they did not try to revive him and have him on a machine, and he passed away. So that was the throat. As far as the dance, I love movies, as Robin definitely can attest. And I love when I would go there, I would show him these great movies. And one of them was Slumdog Millionaire. I love that movie, Slumdog Millionaire. At the end of the movie, the fourth wall goes down, or is it fourth wall or third wall? Correct me on that.
I think it's fourth wall.
When at the end of the movie, all the characters go out of character. They become themselves, the actors, and they all dance. And it's a really cute dance number, out of basically La La Land. I mean, it's just a really cool dance number at the end of... And so I got up and I started dancing with the movie. And then my dad got up, he started dancing with the movie, and his wife just looked at us like we're crazy. And it was just a fun moment. In terms of the flowers, I don't know. specifically, and there's something I suspect, but I'm not going to say. The military, I was in the military. He had a picture of me in my military, and he always respected the fact I was in the military. I'm going to go right to the end. I wrote the word help. I know what that is. Okay, so at the very end of, and I'll call that a reading. It was definitely a reading. You said there was an accident. You mentioned pole. You mentioned three to four. You mentioned a party. You mentioned drunk driving. All 100% true. What happened is when I was 17 years old, I went with three buddies, and we call ourselves the Quartet. So three and four, okay. Both are accurate, actually. Wow. The four of us went to this desert party, 30 kegs, lots of beer, lots of drinking. Thankfully, even though I was drunk as a young, stupid kid, our driver, Ben, was not. He did not drink. That's one thing we were good about. We always had a designated driver. And so as we're driving back, a car with also four people passed us on the right side of the road. This is a small two-lane highway with gravel sides. You don't pass on the right. You always pass on the left. Back in the day, they always hit that home because the gravel, you lose control. He did. Whoever this driver was, he lost control. He rammed into a power pole.
Oh my.
The car caught on fire. The power pole, you know, the transformer blew up and sparks were flying everywhere. I was able to get two people out with the help of my buddies. I won't go too much into that. We got two of the people out. One girl was ejected out of the front windshield. This was a time before the tempered glass, so it was shards of glass, and she was completely... Yes, please.
Okay, so I have to stop you right now. There's a female who just stepped forward, and she's coming to me, and she's saying, thank you for trying. Mm-hmm. There was something about her seatbelt, and she says, you have carried this guilt forever. Ugh. And she says, thank you for trying. She wants you to know she was out of her body already. She did not burn. She did not suffer.
Yeah, what you're referring to is the last person in the car was a young girl. I tried to get her out, and I couldn't. And I got to her seatbelt. I was so happy. My final thoughts of that moment was I was going to save her life, and her mom was going to love me so much. And the mom, she burned to death in front of me. And I couldn't get her out of the car. And I've had that guilt my whole life. That's why, partly why I became police officer, which is what you alluded to in terms of my father. That is why I knew I could do a job. But moreover, I was obsessed with saving lives because I lost her. And I've always felt guilty about that. I realized we saved two people of the four. One died before we... upon impact, and then she wasn't conscious when she was burning to death in front of me. But I literally grabbed onto her. I was so happy when I pulled on her, but then the seatbelt went to detach it and didn't detach, and the fire kept growing. I felt my body had betrayed me. I still have the scars, and she died. Yeah, and that is absolutely 100% true. That is why I think... I knew I could do the job because I was able to stay in control. Having said that, my buddies, the three buddies that you refer to as three to four, literally pulled me out of the car before I ended up burning to death. That did happen.
Okay, wow. And guys, I know she's getting visitations, but so am I. Ken, right?
Yeah.
Ken, he's saying now you have the knowledge to turn those scars into your superhero cape, because she's telling you something to absolve your guilt and to understand those are not guilt reminders. Those are reminders of Darren, the superhero, in service to many. Those scars are beautiful, and look at them differently now. Ken says to embrace your scars because they mean so much more now.
I am just flabbergasted. I can't even speak. Bizarre. Do me a favor.
Okay.
Go to the audience and explain how this works. And you could kind of explain something to me before the show that you want to kind of explain this process.
Right. Okay. So let me take you through a reading. So people come to me or they book a reading. And what I do is I go ahead and I channel and I ask for my guides to bring forth that which needs healing within the person on a core level so that they can go forward in life and remove any guilt, any burdens, and things like that. So that I set the intention. Then typically I speak with them, the person in front of me, and then spirit just starts coming. So that obviously has been on your heart for so long. And let me tell you, they're your guides right now, not anyone dead. They're telling me that you have carried that burden in your heart and that everything else was built on that, meaning the loss of your child, like the loss of like everything around you. You have kind of kept that at your core. And what happens during a reading is they go directly to the core, directly to the source, and they break up that energy. And they relieve that guilt and they comfort. So by her stepping forward and saying, I was out of my body already. So you did not fail her. Do you understand that? She is adamant that you did not save her. She would have gone either way, but she was already watching her body. And she says, you have been holding that and holding on to that as like the catalyst for everything in your life, and you've built this wall around it because I'm this cop now and I can do this and this, but let go of the guilt part of it because you have to forgive yourself. There's nothing that you did wrong.
Yeah, this is absolutely bizarre. This is 100% true. I've always felt guilty, and then I've always dealt with that in terms of trying to save other people.
Yes.
And I was obsessed, truly obsessed. There's one time there was a building fire and I was on the backside, and instead of driving all the way around, I just got my car and climbed up the building to get to the people. And then as I'm climbing, I'm getting on my walkie talkie and telling up my units. I was a sergeant at the time, this is location, 19th Avenue, Camelback, apartment complex fire. And when my first unit arrived, they saw me literally climbing from balcony to balcony to balcony to get to the top because it was on the top of the third floor. And they're like, you're Spider-Man. And I never thought once about the fear of climbing up like that, literally going from one balcony to jumping up to grab the bars on the next balcony and then to the third. I had to save those lives, and obsessed to a point of being reckless. And I can see her right now. I can see her vividly in my head. She's never left me. I just would never a million years thought she was out there in the ether.
Right. She says she's been waiting until the right time. And she does say she wants you. There's something with the phoenix bird, from the ashes. She says you are the phoenix. You don't realize it. You keep thinking. And that's how she wants you to associate the fire with rising from the ashes. So don't be surprised if you start seeing that symbol everywhere. I know it's funny because you live in Phoenix,
right,
but
right.
No,
and
I mean,
Phoenix Cop.
Right, exactly. But there's, she's going to show you that she's free with that. That's beautiful.
I don't know her name. The end of this event was almost sadly comical on the part of the I want to say it was Sheriff Department at the time. They never asked our names. They never asked what occurred. I have no idea about her. We were just kind of, and again, I won't lie, I was a crying, bawling 17-year-old kid who just saw a girl, die in front of me. So they probably didn't, trust us kids with information or anything. We just kind of let us go. In fact, they didn't even treat my wounds, which was weird. Yeah, which is why it scarred. That's bizarre. And you said other things, and I was writing so feverishly. You talk about help, and I just wrote the word help, and I think that was part of why I became a cop and so forth, the help. And then you also said something about a cap, I think, and real. And I don't know what that meant. I did at the time. I wrote it, and now I can't remember what it was in relationship to. That reading was eerily spot on. Eerily. You don't know me. I mean, we definitely have communicated through this almost a year since your show. But I don't post on social media. I don't share things.
Right.
Even Robin Cote, who I've known 7 years and is a dear, dear friend. You didn't know my dad died.
No, but I know that you were going back and forth to take care of him. And I knew about the stroke and stuff. But the idea that both her and I actually saw him in this studio and then you revealing that as the show started. And, you know, I'm taken back to something, too, because I am listening to what she's saying. In the very beginning of the other show that we used to do together, Badge Boys, I said something that there were three phoenixes sitting in the studio because I'm covered in phoenix tattoos. The other co-host, Jason Schechterly, is well known from
literally
burning rose from the ashes. He's the only police officer to ever survive a Crown Vic explosion and made a difference for officers in the world. And he calls himself a phoenix. But Darren felt he was...
I would never consider myself.
And I did say it that day on that show. And this was very in the beginning of our first series of shows. I said, no, there's three phoenixes in this studio because all three of us have burned down and risen from the ashes in one way or another. And he never took that upon himself. And now you actually have that badge, speaking of badges, to carry with you in honor because she's releasing you from that guilt and she wants you to forgive yourself. And to me, that is the most powerful thing above everything that's been said here, because that's the catalyst that got you into what you decided to do. You couldn't help one, but you can help so many.
Yeah, I violated policy for the first probably 20 years of my police career because I refused to put on a seatbelt. And yet one girl died because she didn't have a seatbelt on. She went through the glass window, was just a meat grinder, just horribly, savagely torn apart through the ejection, through the shards of the glass broken window. And she died because she wasn't wearing a seatbelt. And then one girl in the back seat, furthest from the entry, and I was teeny, it was a small area, it was against where the damage was. And that's the only entry we could make. And when the flames were engulfing the back seat, that guilt, and it's—I don't know—I'm really, truly speechless. Really am in terms of this, because this is not something I talk about. This is not something I like to talk about.
Right,
quite frankly.
And that,
the guilt—it
needed to come out, though. And it's odd that we're talking about seatbelts, because I actually, this is how I became—I stepped into my power because I was born this way and didn't realize it. My son had been in an accident where my son was the drunk driver, and there were two males in the front seat, both have passed now from their injuries. They succumbed, but they were not wearing seatbelts. My son, who ended up, you know, leaving by suicide 3 years later, they had to cut him out of his seatbelt.
Wow.
So just there's just so many things. There's something about the seatbelts. So there is something that someone needs to hear who's listening. You know, wear your seatbelt. That's exactly what I'm being told. Yeah. So no second guessing. Just put it on and go from there. That's exactly what I'm feeling right now. And I kind of wanted also to let everyone know that we are all connected. This is not a, you know, this is not my superpower.
It's
this
not
is
a
not
gift.
Something. No, it is not a gift. It's an ability, and we all have it. And I can take us on a 2-minute meditation if you have time.
Oh, please.
So I'd like everyone to close their eyes. Go ahead and take in a deep breath. And breathe out. Deep breath in. Breathe out again. Okay, so I want everyone to imagine there's an ice-cold Coca-Cola in a can right in front of you on the counter. I want you to see a glass with ice, and it's so nice because it's dripping with, like, sweat. There's sweat on the glass. I want you to take that pop, and I want you to pop the top. I want you to listen to it. I want you to hear the effervescence of the bubbles. And I want you to take that cold can in your hand and start pouring it into the glass. Okay, and then put the can down. I want you to pick up the glass, feeling the wet, the cool, and lift it up to your nose. Let it tickle your nostrils. Smell it. There's nothing else like it. I want you to put it up to your lips and take a sip. And I want you to take another mouthful. I want you to feel it in your mouth, feeling the bubbles, feeling it on your teeth, and I want you to swallow. Now I want you to take that cup and put it down. Now, when you're ready, open your eyes. Now, did you envision the Coke?
I did.
Could you see it?
I
okay.
Did. I definitely
could you feel it, like how cold it was?
Yes.
Could you feel it tickling your nose?
Yes.
Did you taste it?
I did.
You have just experienced all of the clairs, what they call clairaudience, clairsentience, all of those things. You can see, hear, smell, taste, all of it. That is all you need, is your imagination to connect with spirit.
With your senses.
Absolutely. And when you connect with the senses and you realize and you recognize that there's something out there that you can imagine. If you can imagine like a child, you can do it. You can connect. And it is that easy.
It's weird because at one point, as you're doing that meditation and you talk about, you know, taking a sip, I don't realize I'm doing it. My mouth, and I'm hitting the cuff of the microphone. I didn't even realize I was going down. It mm-hmm. was, definitely put me right there. When you do these readings, and this one was very wow, did not see any of this coming, because we do not discuss.
No,
we don't have this.
This is like the third time I've met you.
Right.
The first time was a psychic fair. The second time I did the badge zone, and this is like just talking. This is the third time.
Yeah, and I don't connect with you on social media. I won't lie, I don't connect with anyone on social media other than promoting the shows, mm-hmm. and it's all business. You know,
right.
That's just how I just don't do personal stuff on very often at all. So there's no way you should have known any of that. But you knew things, and you said things based on my dad that isn't knowledge. It's just not.
Let me tell you this. I don't know anything. I don't know if it's real or if it's not. The only thing I know for sure is when messages come through, it's my job
Relaying.
To give. That I'm this like beautiful microphone that can listen, and I can get images. I can get, sometimes they give me songs. It doesn't matter how they connect with everything and every experience that I've had to give you the information. And that is the gist of a reading. It is just whatever is coming to me, whatever I'm given. My job is to give. And a lot of people don't realize that that's the human side that I can kind of go beyond, because it is not from me and it is not for me. I'm not attached to it.
It's through you.
Yeah. And if it makes sense, it makes sense. If it doesn't, I tell people, don't throw it away. You could be the messenger and it goes to someone else. It could be
something.
Or it
may make sense later.
Yes, may make sense later. Or it could be a future event. Any of those three can happen during a reading as well. So I'm not limited. I just get information and I give it.
When we were talking, and I had these three ideas that I wanted to kind of talk about. I wanted to talk about, you know, where you've come since we last saw, because we haven't gotten in contact. And then I wanted you to kind of share if somebody came forward, and wow, did they ever. And then I want to talk to you about your butterfly effect, because I know what I think a butterfly effect is.
Right.
But can you tell me about your butterfly effect?
Yes. Okay. So what it is, it's a lot of things for me, but at the core right now, what I'm doing is I've copyrighted a workbook. It's a book and a workbook. So this is for mediums or people who are mediums or kind of on the fence, like, am I a medium? Is this real? Am I going crazy? What are these? So it kind of takes people step by step. In the brief little thing that we just did, I help build on that. And I help them let go of their human doubt. And I show them we all have the ability. We all have this innate ability to connect with those who've crossed over and to trust their intuition. Because you have to remember, I'm a 15-year code officer. I did not believe this. I fought it tooth and nail. But when I finally surrendered to the thought that maybe this could be real, and I allowed myself, but that takes a lot of practice. So I want people who are out there doing this to be in integrity. That is my key point, because I see a lot of people wanting to teach, a lot of people wanting to have people meditate. But if you don't have integrity, then you shouldn't be doing it. And that's where I am stuck, in the integrity piece. And the butterfly effect is as follows. It is just an 8-week course that I teach. In addition to, you know, get a downloadable workbook, you get to see my bright, pretty face for, you know, 8 weeks on every Saturday. And then
she is.
Oh, my goodness. And I have a journal that goes with it. And it's a prompting journal. It kind of makes you go within. And it makes you question, okay, what do I really feel at my core about this? And writing it out and expressing it helps you recognize that this is real. There are several ways to connect, and that's like my core thing. I have paper and pen right in front of me, so when I do readings, sometimes I know that words come out or things like that, and I don't know what they mean. I just read them to the people, and they're like, wow, that makes sense. So the power of one is what the butterfly effect is. It's the power of one. And I say this because it's happened so many times in my life. And I gifted a reading to a friend, my daughter's friend, because her sibling had crossed. Mm-hmm. And what happened is she told her sister-in-law, hey, this gal's a medium if you want to connect. He came through for me. She connected to me. I did not know it was the same person. So what she did is she put it on social media that she found a medium who could connect. Like, it was legit. There were things that were said that nobody would know. Like, how would you know that? I don't. So from that, last June, I was bombarded. I did like 5-6 readings every day for people from this site. And I was just overwhelmed with the amount of love that I got back. And I told my husband, it's all because the power of one. Because that woman that contacted me, I gifted the reading. And I was blessed by so much more.
Wow, that is a lot to take in. That is the power of one, mm-hmm. absolutely. If you would share another story that kind of validated the truth in terms of this ability. And it's funny, when I was driving to the studio today, I was trying to think how I would even describe, because I've been schooled where people say, that's not a gift. I thought about a window. Like, we all have this window to our soul, but maybe a window to the afterlife, and it's just a matter of opening that window. Is that a stupid metaphor?
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. That is not stupid. And we all have that window. Some people have it locked shut. Some people have been told, leave the blinds. Do not ever open that window. Be scared of it. Be afraid. It's nothing good. But it is a window, and we do have the ability to open it up.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please share with us a story that occurred, because you said there was a couple that, like, really, like, wow moments.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to tell you about this one. I've done a lot of shows in California. So I was at this event, and a woman walked up to me. And typically when people sit down with me, I just ask their first name. After I asked her first name, she put a box in front of me. And I looked at her, she goes, I want you to hold it. And I looked at her, I said, I've never done this before. And she goes, no, I want you to hold it. Tell me what you feel. And I asked my guys, I'm like, what is this about? And they told me, just do it. So I did. I picked up the box, and then, you know, I asked for my guides to come and help me. And I told her about the relationship she was in. I told her about, you know, documents that were missing. I told her about, you know, the location of this person. I told her that they were into some shady stuff. You know, they were doing stuff with social security numbers, credit cards, like all this stuff. And then I told her, do not go searching for these people. Just be glad that they're out of your life.
Wow.
And she looked at me, and she was like in tears, and her mouth was open. And she's like, I don't even know what to say. And it was this whole story and this whole line of things that happened to her. And she said, you have just validated everything. And you just held that. She opened up the box finally, and it was cards of this person, meaning it was like things that were missing. That's all that they had left was from this person. So it was just amazing to me. And that kind of made me go, wow, I can do this. So it was just really neat, and that kind of blew me away. And then another one that really blew me away was when I was reading for a mother who had lost her son to suicide, just like I did. And I was talking to her, and, you know, she was really quiet, and her son was yelling at me. And he says, "You better tell her, tell her." So I said, "Ma'am, I've got to tell you something. Your son says that today is your last chance. You are going to leave the way he did because you physically got the same belt and the same pull-up bar. You purchased them today." I said, "Your son is yelling at me that I better tell you to not do it." And she just broke down. She started crying. She said, "Oh my God, this was the last call before I was going to do it. I was going to wait for him to come through. And if nothing came through, I was going to go through it." She already had everything written down. She had a note. She had everything, like her finances. Everything was ready to go. And I cried with her. I prayed with her. And my husband, who was downstairs working in the garage at the time, I didn't realize he was listening to me. And he is even more skeptical than anybody I know. So he was not on board with me doing it because he was telling me, "What if it's wrong? What if you get something wrong? People's lives, this is, you can't mess with this." So when he heard me and the woman talking, he heard what I said. After I was done praying with her and I hung up the phone, I was still like crying and just trying to release. My husband walks up the stairs, and he's also crying. And he's like, "I am so sorry if I ever doubted you. I am so sorry. You are doing God's work. This is amazing. You helped save this woman." I said, "No, it's not me, it's Spirit." And that was another one. And one I had most recently, I was feeling kind of melancholy throughout the day. And I didn't know why. My son kept, you know, coming to me. And I'm like, "I don't know what's going on, just kind of, you know, I love you, but I need time. It's just getting too close." So the person came to my studio, and I was reading for her, and this little boy peeked around the corner, and I saw his beautiful little black curls, and he said, "You tell my mommy, you know, that she has my curls." And I told her, I said, "You have his curls, and he's telling me you trace them, you smell them. And there was something about an accident, and I see like a broken family, so I know that you're no longer with your spouse because of this. There's like blame, there's like, you know, self-damage." And of course, and it was her son that came through, and she was just crying. She said, "I've never needed that validation so bad. Thank you so much." Wow. Yeah.
That's amazing stuff. You are doing such amazing stuff. I can't call it work. And again, I realize we don't call it a gift, but it truly is a gift for these people that are in need. Like, for example, myself, you know, I've always had that guilt, not being able to save her. It felt bad. I mean, beyond bad, to a point where I was obsessed to save lives. And this woman literally saved her life. It's amazing. I don't even know where to go. Please weigh in, Robin.
Well, I can say something. I don't know. Again, like she's saying, sometimes we don't know what we get. And I tend to have an argument in my head with these people sometimes, because it's like, you got to give me more, because this isn't enough. And I don't feel comfortable enough saying it. I haven't mastered this enough, because the way her and I came about our abilities was in a natural, organic way. And it's interesting, because as I sit here, I keep hearing this, Callie or Calico is saying hello, and I have no idea what this means. I have nothing. I don't get it. Callie or Calico, and it's like, hello, like this, hello, and I'm like, I have no idea what this is. So again, you know, it's weird. And
again, you're relaying a message.
Yeah, please. It's probably my cat. I had a Calico, and she was feisty and she was stubborn and. That's
again with the cats. On the first show, I saw a cat walking out with her in the lobby after the show was over. And it's okay. So I guess somebody told me, was it you that said something about the animals and me?
I said that you can see animals. Animals are really easy for you to communicate with.
Well, there you go. Mm-hmm. So Callie says hi. Calico. Oh boy.
Do you know why?
Huh?
Because you don't trust the human part of it. You kind of want to, but you really can't fully let go because there's something with animals that is such a pure love. And when people come to me and their animals come, it is a sensation of love like I've never felt before. Animals really come to teach us that unconditional love, and that's what they bring through. And it can be addictive because it's like, God, it feels so good.
You know? Yes.
Yeah.
You're right. And I do have issues because I am myself a huge skeptic. And there's a lot of messages I get. I mean, my guy, his family comes to me all the time, and they drop in whenever they feel like it. And then
I'm going to give you a little bit of advice, okay? So when I stay in integrity with myself, I tell my guides, you do not bring anybody through until it's time for the reading. And they listen, because it's like a gatekeeper. It's like your main guide. And that's why I was telling Darren this morning, your father was trying to tell me all about things when I was sitting in my car. And that's why he's like, if you get something, I'm like, your father. He's like, oh, my God.
Blew me away.
It's like, yeah. Can you wait till we get there?
So when you're with your family or when you're alone, tell your guides, I'm not going to be doing this because I am not open all the time. There's a misconception because of all the Hollywood antics, because of all the, you know, oh, yeah, I'm on all the time and I'll just walk into a grocery store and I'll just tell you this and make you cry. No. To me, this is the most integral thing I've ever done, because with this ability that I can do, I have to honor it because I work for
them.
Yeah. And it's like the humanness is like, you know what, I'm gonna stop this, because even if they come to me and they tell me they want to talk, you know what I tell the spirit? You let them know.
Now's not the time.
No, you go tell them to contact me, because they can do it. They can put my website up first. They can do all kinds of things. They can do so much behind the scenes.
And that's the perfect segue for me to ask you how, if someone's out there listening, how do they get a hold of you and get a reading like you've never imagined? Because I never imagined this. Wow.
Oh, they can contact me at mediumadelita.com. All pricing, all scheduling, everything is done there. They can enroll in the Butterfly Effect if you are, you know, someone wanting to connect closer. You can see my books there. There might be a link to the newest journal, which is the Butterfly Effect journal. That's how you get a hold of me.
I love it. And I'm blessed that you came in today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, I'm truly speechless when it comes to the guilt I've held regarding that young girl.
So you are so welcome.
Thank you.
You're
so welcome. And that wraps it up for this episode of The Badge Zone Before I Cry.
Thanks for listening. This week's journey into the Badge Zone is coming to an end. But join Darren next time as we delve deeper into the zone. The Badge Zone.